We're going to continue our conversation now about the changing face of stay-at-home moms with Pamela Stone. She's a professor of sociology at Hunter College in New York. She's the author of Opting Out, Why Women Really Quit Careers and Head Home. Also with us is Leslie Morgan Steiner. She's a regular contributor to our parenting conversations. She's the editor of the book Mommy Wars, Stay-at-Home and Career Moms Face Off on Their Choices, Their Lives, Their Families. Also with us is Elizabeth Rodriguez. She's a stay-at-home mom of two children in Fairfax. She's also a former lobbyist and policy worker. And we thank you all so much for speaking with us, ladies, moms.
Pleasure to be here.
Thank you.
Yeah, great to be here.
First, Professor Stone, if we could start with you. You've studied highly educated, affluent white mothers who have opted out of the paid labor force. Are you surprised by these findings?
Well, as somebody who has spent a long time thinking about these findings, I'm not surprised by them. I did write a book on these upper-end women who opted to go home, and so I think they're very important. But I knew, in order to contextualize my findings, that there was no opt-out revolution, that the media had long been overplaying that. And I knew, moreover, that it's women at the lower end of the spectrum who face a very tough job market, who don't have the skills that more educated women have in terms of finding employment, and whose earnings are so low that it's really tough to find jobs that make work worth it. And you know, think about child care costs, for example. The kind of women that we find to be stay-at-home moms, young, Hispanic, and foreign-born, are simply unable to find jobs that afford them a living wage and the ability to afford child care.
So you were never making the argument that the opt-out group is the biggest group. Your point was simply that this is an interesting group to
you can't read it, but my book, Opting Out, has a question mark after it, because it was clear to me that in terms of the numbers, they weren't so important. That wasn't the trend about revolution. What was important was the significance of these women, women who had a lot of things going for them and women we expect to continue in their employment. So I think they're an important group, but their numbers are way exaggerated.
Leslie, what are your thoughts about the survey?
I wasn't surprised by this information. I'm happy to see it. Data is always very useful. But in Mommy Wars, I also looked at a much more elite segment of the population, college-educated women, who were struggling with the choice of whether to work or not. And I discovered in my research, too, that there's an enormous segment of the population that does not have any choice. As Pamela Stone said, it all has to do with childcare and the cost of childcare in this country. That if you don't earn more than it costs to put your child or children in a daycare center or in some kind of childcare, you can't go to work. And I'm really glad these numbers have come out, because I think it's going to force all of us in this country to take a really hard look at how little quality, affordable childcare there is and how important it is to our country overall.
Well, maybe or maybe not, because one of the questions I have is whether the question captures the question of how you see yourself. I mean, it's possible that maybe you see your job as raising the children as just more important. And Elizabeth, let's hear from you on this.
I was in a situation where I wanted to stay home. That was my ideal. I just felt like the early years were extremely critical, and my husband and I thought that one parent being home full-time with the children would be what was best for them. We did struggle a bit even though that's what I wanted, it didn't make the decision easy. I still struggled with whether or not we wanted to go from a two-income to a one-income family, and also putting my career on hold for that long was a big decision.
I also want to mention you have a master's from the LBJ Public Policy School at the University of Texas, so it's not as though you're lacking in credentials to get back out there if that's what you want to do. But can I just ask, let me just tie a bow on Elizabeth. Elizabeth, is your decision to stay home driven at all by the cost of the care that you could get for your children? Or is it primarily that this is how you see yourself at this time and you think that's the most important job you could be doing?
It's actually both. I mean, I really do feel like this is the most important job I could be doing right now. But the cost of childcare certainly does factor into our decision, where such a big percentage of what I would be making outside of the home would go to childcare. It is very clear that it wouldn't be worth it. Even to perhaps find short-term work or part-time work or try to do some work out of the house.
Professor Stone?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that what I found in my study, which I interviewed, you know, dozens of women across the country about this, and about 9 out of 10 had a slightly different scenario than Elizabeth. In other words, these were women who really did prefer to combine family and their careers and really tried to do so, but found that they were in workplaces that made it really virtually impossible by virtue of really extreme hours and a real inhospitality to any kind of part-time or flexible work arrangement. So I think that we, you know, the whole idea of the that women are choosing to head home is one that I think we need to question. And I think that's one of the another good thing about looking at these women at the other end of the spectrum, because I think we know that young Hispanic foreign-born women don't have as many choices as women at the other end. And I think that points us to the importance of structure, of employment opportunities, whether they're out there or not, and to child care availability and the like. So I like the idea with this new research that maybe we're moving a little bit away from this focus on this all being about choice and taste and preference and looking at some of those larger economic opportunity variables.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. We're talking about new census data about just who stay-at-home moms really are. And we're speaking with Hunter College sociology professor Pamela Stone, blogger and regular parenting contributor Leslie Morgan Steiner, and former lobbyist and current stay-at-home mom Elizabeth Rodriguez. So picking up on your point, and I think it's also worth noting that you can have significant income and still not like your child care choices or find it not available or not consistent or not of the quality that you desire.
Absolutely.
But I also want to say is, are we giving short shrift to the idea that this may be how more women see themselves than perhaps a lot of researchers have wanted to believe, that they just see their role primarily as that of mom, and that's the job that they want?
I mean, I think we have a hard time as a culture accepting the idea that the mode now is for women moms to be working. Overwhelmingly, working moms are working. And I think we are so used to construing work and family as either or, as zero sum. And I think we do need to change that lens. I think we need to realize that what every poll shows and what the behavior of women shows is that what women want to do is they want to do both. And if you look at educational trends, more and more women are going into college, getting a college education. Their rates of college graduation have now eclipsed men's. I think women are really trying to take on both out of need and out of desire, the economic role. But I think as a culture, we're having kind of a hard time accepting that. And I sort of would like to, you know, caution us to get away from thinking about them as an either or zero sum. I think most women want to do both.
Leslie, well, what about you? And the reason I'm particularly interested in your take on this is that you and I had a very spirited conversation about this before we ever met about the title of your book,
right,
which implies this dichotomy of it's them versus it's us versus them or them versus us. And you know, you correctly said, well, it's actually really a lot more nuanced than that.
Right. Well, and, you know, the most important thing I learned from writing Mommy Wars is that the tension, the real tension is not between moms. It's inside each mom's head. What I see is that our culture is so much struggling with the myth of how wonderful and fulfilling motherhood is. It is for many, many people. But I think that we as a country, we worship motherhood and we deify it, but then we give women so very little support once they actually have children. And I think that that's what's hard for our, I think, about these numbers. It's hard to accept these numbers because to me what it shows is that sometimes motherhood is a choice, but even for moms who are really happy, I think that there's an element of motherhood that is a trap. And our culture does not like to see motherhood that way. We really like to see it with rose-colored glasses. And I think no matter how you look at it, and the data doesn't get at how women are feeling about motherhood. It's just the facts. But these are, you know, moms who are younger, who tend to be immigrants and tend to be much poorer than average women. And there's nothing in the numbers that say that they're going to come back to work at any time after their children grow older. And to me, that speaks to the fact that motherhood has a real downside to it that we don't like to acknowledge.
You mean motherhood as a job, as your full-time job?
Motherhood is a
full-time,
in general, but also as a full-time job, because the unfortunate thing about motherhood is that it's a dead-end job.
Mm.
And if you start out young and you didn't earn very much money before you had kids, no matter how long you stay home, being a mom isn't going to improve your chances of taking care of yourself and your family financially.
Elizabeth, can I ask you, when you made the decision to stay home, you'd already started your career. Do you remember discussing this with peers and what the reaction was?
I would probably say from my immediate family, it's been overwhelmingly supportive. Response has been that is absolutely the best thing that you can do for your children. There's no substitute. But I have had extended family members going, "You're doing what?" It just wasn't the path that they expected to see me take. And even I am surprised that I'm still here 4 years later, but it's not a decision I regret. But I'm curious about the Hispanic population, the 27%. Is that broken down also by income? Because I'm wondering if there's also a Hispanic cultural element to this, in that, you know, Hispanics as a culture, as a community, are less likely to put our parents into nursing homes. And I think that feels sort of countercultural to outsource our child care.
All right. Professor Stone?
Yeah. Can I speak to that?
Sure.
There's no question that there's long been a finding that Hispanic, Latino women are less likely to be working than other groups of women when you control for other characteristics. And I think demographers, again, we don't have the attitudinal data, but I think we've often described some portion of that differential to just what Elizabeth was talking about, that there are cultural attitudes that both value the more traditional arrangement within the home and value parental caregiving. One of the studies that I have done, looking only, I should say, at college-educated women, I do find that there is this same pattern. But once Hispanic women have been in the country, the longer they're in the country, and the more acculturated they become, in other words, the more that differential disappears. So they start looking pretty much just like, white native-born counterparts. So I think you are picking up some of that cultural difference in these findings.
Pamela Stone is a professor of sociology at Hunter College in New York. She's the author of Opting Out? Why Women Really Quit Careers and Head Home. She joined us from NPR's Bureau in New York. Elizabeth Rodriguez is a stay-at-home mom of two. She's a former political lobbyist. She joined us from her home in Fairfax, Virginia. And Leslie Morgan Steiner is a regular contributor to our parenting conversation. She's the author of, most recently, Crazy Love, a Memoir. And she joined us here in our Washington, D.C. studios. Ladies, moms, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks,
thank
Michelle.
You.
And that's our program for today. I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Let's talk more tomorrow.